Good morning and welcome to Mountain Money. Lovely day in Park City today. Little chilly, but we're heading to a high of 64 today.
It is lovely today, but what the heck happened on Saturday?
A little bit of a winter returning, and that's just spring in the Wasatch. And good to have the moisture, we'll say. Even if it interrupted weekend plans.
I was hoping to mow my lawn for the first time. That sure didn't happen.
Well, it's going to need it with all the moisture now. So Larry Warren here, along with Doug Wells, your usual crew, heading to a high of 64 today. So it should be just a perfect day to get out, although trails are going to be a bit wet, I would imagine. On Mountain Money this morning, usually we talk about making money. Investing money, and then the third
spending it wisely. I think is our logo.
Yes, the third component of our tagline is spending it wisely. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning: spending your money wisely, and how you don't have to be an Eccles or a Gates to give away money and give it away smartly. So we're going to talk with Carrie Morgridge, who runs a family foundation, the Morgridge Family Foundation, and she's written a book about giving away money called Every Gift Matters, How Your Passion Can Change the World, and how, $7 is enough to get started.
And it's an important topic, because one of the things that makes Park City great is all the not-for-profits that we have here, and how do you make the decision who you spend your time with, who you invest in. So that's going to be a great conversation. And then sticking with the conversation of spending your money wisely, we're going to have Christopher Nelson in, as well as Mary Krista Smith. Christopher is with the Park City Group that is going after the Georgetown University Energy Prize, which I believe is a $1 million prize. It's a $5 million prize for the city that does the best on energy improvement. And Mary Krista is with the Summit County Power Works. So we're going to hear more about that program. That's really exciting. It's going on all year. You're listening to Mountain Money on KPCW, and we'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
This is Alex Knapp from the law offices of Jones, Waldo, Holbrook, and McDonough, a longtime supporter of KPCW. Jones, Waldo has been serving clients in Summit County since 1875. We can be reached at 435-647-5975 or on the web at joneswaldo.com.
Assemble would like to thank KPCW and the business community of Park City for your support during our first year of business. Phase 2 of Assemble will open this spring with 11 more offices, a conference room, and 8 workstations for Park City's hardworking, hard-playing professionals. On the web at assembleparkcity.com.
And welcome back to Mountain Money. And we have on the line with us now Carrie Morgridge, who is Vice President of the Morgridge Family Foundation. And for purposes of our conversation, she's the author of a new book pretty much about philanthropy and how to be a wise philanthropist. And the book is called Every Gift Matters, How Your Passion Can Change the World. And Carrie is a Coloradoan joining us from Denver. Welcome to Mountain Money, Carrie.
Good morning. I am so excited to be on your show this morning.
Well, you know, we were saying in our introduction, usually our show is about making money and investing money, and but the third component is how to spend money wisely, and that's where your book comes in, Every Gift Matters. Talk a little bit about how you came to the world of philanthropy. It sounds like you're from modest beginnings in small-town California, and now Vice President of the Morgridge Family Foundation. What was your journey like?
So my journey was, I had always worked two jobs. I grew up in Central California and then moved up to the Bay Area. When I moved up to the Bay Area, I met my husband, and lo and behold, his father took a company called Cisco Systems public.
I think we've heard of that. So,
that would be John, his father
company.
John.
His father is also John, and my son is John. So from there, as we got older and they made a lot of money at Cisco, my in-laws always had it embedded in them to give back. And so Cisco was one of the first tech companies actually to start giving back with their profits. So capitalism is great, and we believe that everybody should make a lot of money, But the second half of your journey is how do you give it away thoughtfully?
And that becomes the subject of your book. So let's just dive into it there. We have interviewed several folks who've written books about philanthropy. Penelope Burke and others that are fairly famous in the world of philanthropy. What sets yours apart? What was your goal in writing this one?
My goal in this one was to share with people that from our experiences, writing the smaller checks actually gave us more fulfillment than sometimes writing the bigger checks. And I also had a lot of experience on the do's and don'ts. I share some of my failures, and I don't think philanthropists are keen on sharing their failures, and I think that's important so that you learn from them.
Well, let's talk about some of those failures. I don't want to dwell on it, but I want to, when you talk about failures in philanthropy and in your giving, what do you mean by failure in that regard?
Well, failure just to me means that you did less good than you could have done someplace else. So we're always looking to leverage. I look for an ROI or a rate on return on my investment. So when I give, I tell the organization up front that I'm investing in them and I expect a return. I don't expect anything else, but I do expect that they spend the money that my father-in-law worked hard to make, that they spend the money in the proper place. And you should, too. Every single person should hold the organization that they give to accountable.
Well, let's talk about that, because it's a challenge, because here in the U.S., to move the needle is very expensive. Where if you look around the globe, my daughter's going to India. She's going to be volunteering at a leper seed colony this summer. And if you look at the dollars it takes to move the needle in India, it seems like you get more impact in some of these third world countries. So how do you balance that?
Gosh, that's a great question. I look for the small wins here in America. So we invest in education. Now, education is a huge pie. So what we did was we laser focused down on technology integration in the classroom. We started investing in guys like Sal Khan of Khan Academy, Hadi Petrovi of Code.org, and we started looking at the small wins. Once Sal Khan got launched, I don't know if you know this, but he has 2 billion downloads.
It's a fabulous story. I've heard his story. It's really a tool that he created for his nephews and nieces. And just kind of went viral from there, and huge impact, really, and as you point out, for very few dollars early on invested.
Yes, and it's having a global impact. Same with, I don't know if you've interviewed Hadi from Code.org, but same thing. 100 million kids have coded for 1 hour, called Hour of Code. So, those are big wins. But you also look for the little wins in your own community. I personally have had the pleasure of being to Park City, and I have learned so much about homelessness and the right things to do. And I take what I learned from Park City, and I bring it back into my own community in Denver, Colorado.
And what did you learn about homelessness in Park City?
I learned that about when I went to the Latter-day Saints campus, how important job creation is. And it's right there. So food is the hook. And when you can get the people in the door that need help with food, you can also get them help back to get back on their feet, maybe get them some computer or technical skills to get a job. It's been a fabulous partnership that we've had learning about what you do in Utah.
Yeah, just to clarify, you're talking about the homelessness in Salt Lake City, not Park City. Salt Lake is the place that's made great strides and has acquired a national reputation in how homelessness is dealt with in Salt Lake.
Yes, and I apologize. I'm sorry, got my shoes mixed up. But yes, I have been to both cities of recent, and it's just been so exciting. So we'll go to another city who is doing the best, who does have a national reputation. We'll learn what they're doing, and then we go back to our own city and try to partner with another organization that can learn from the good work.
Well, you bring up a great point, though, which is, you know, people come to Park City and there's a lot of affluence, but there's also, and people forget this, there's also a lot of need. And you mentioned feeding people and making sure they have proper nutrition. It's a big challenge. And here in town, I'm on the board of the Christian Center of Park City, which really serves as the food bank for Park City. And there's a huge need for folks. And one of the things I like about what they are doing is it is an example of an organization where a little bit of money can make a big difference. And as important, a little bit of volunteering can make a big difference. And you talk about volunteering in your book. What is the role of volunteering versus giving money?
You know, they are both equally important. In fact, I think, in my own opinion, my highest regard for philanthropists are those who give of their time. And I love, one of my favorite places to give of my time is actually at food banks. Because the people that come through aren't the faces that you would expect to see. And I think if everybody gave in a food bank now and again, they'd understand that it's not chronic homeless. It's people just like you and me that maybe have fallen on hard times, that maybe you know are in between jobs, and they just need a little hand up.
It helps you relate, right? When you spend your time, it helps you relate to the situation.
John and I gave a big investment into the Denver Museum of Nature and Science. But what a lot of people don't know is that 1,800 volunteers last year donated 250,000 hours to make our museum affordable for all. That return of their hours had a $3 million impact on our budget that we didn't have to pay for. So volunteers, every little gift matters. Every gift matters.
So let's talk about how you made the decision to support the Denver Museum of Natural History and Art? Is that the organization?
Denver Museum of Nature and Science.
Nature and Science. So those are two very different causes, right? Khan Academy, Code.org, those are things that scale very efficiently across the world. And then a physical museum is something that has a physical presence that doesn't scale as well. How did you make the decision that local organization was something you wanted to support?
We've always had the mantra of take care of your own backyard first. And so living in Denver, Colorado, our museum sees more families than the Rockies and the Broncos combined. 1.4 million people attend our museum. And our museum is also beyond the day. So the new wing where the Morbridge Family Center is, the doors actually open up to City Park, and the kids are encouraged actually to do science outside as well as inside. And the museum is there to spark children to go into the fields of STEM. So it kind of went back to it always goes back to education for us. These are all related to education, but how you get there can be totally different. So museums are a great way of sparking kids. And we also have a teacher training program. So we'll train teachers in the museum while the kids are actually having a full fun day at the museum. So our museum has gotten really creative of working with the public school systems so we can do innovative and creative ways of training teachers.
Now, the Morbridge Foundation, obviously, with Cisco money behind it, you're able to make big grants, build museum wings, have large impacts. But the point of your book is to say you don't need any of that to make an impact. Every gift matters.
Yes. What I have found is when my time is spent at volunteering, or sometimes my $500 gift to Donors Choose are some of the most impactful gifts and transformative gifts that I could give. We really talk about leveraging, staying, the book talks about leveraging and staying focused. We also talk about compounded giving. So the average donor in America gives away $2,000 a year. So let's say out of your $2,000, you stay focused for the next 10 years and you give that money to a specific need, you will have given $24,000. That's a huge impact.
And you talk about even a gift of the size of $7, which we all can afford, including the young people in the audience that might still be in middle school or high school. How can $7 move the needle?
So one of the things that Denver has an issue with, and I think every city does across the country, is literacy. Literacy is really important. What we found out is that 1 in 300 children who live in poverty have one book for every 300 kids. So the $7 miracle is a partnership with Scholastic Book Club that a child gets $7, they get to pick their own book, and every month they can order from the Scholastic Book Program. We've even honed it down into a $1 donation, and it's on the Scholastic Book Order. And nationwide last year, 150,000 people gave $1, and that supported 2,200 children for the year to start creating their own libraries.
You know, one of the I like the examples of these small dollars that can make a difference, and that's a great example. One of the things I've seen a rise of lately that I really, really like is corporations, when you buy something from them, when you use their services, they put a little bit of their money towards a cause. Here locally, there's a CEO, there's a company called Experticity, which helps retailers educate their employees on sports gear. And Tom Stockham is the CEO, and they've recently taken up the endeavor of clean water. So when a new retailer signs on with them, a certain amount of the proceeds that Experticity gets goes to clean water. There's another local company called Cotopaxi, which sells high-end outdoor gear, kind of like Black Diamond. And every time you buy some of their products, they make a donation, like they'll drill a well for somebody in Indonesia, or provide basic nutrition for a family for a year. And what's amazing is how much can be done for a very small amount of money. And what I really like about seeing the corporations doing this is their heart, I think, initially is in the right place. But in Cotopaxi's case, they have found that their returns are one-third of the national average. They're an online retailer where you buy like a nice coat. And people, let's say they give clean water to a village for a year if you buy a nice coat. What they've found is their returns are one-third of the industry average, and they think part of the reason is because people mentally think, well, if I return this jacket, they're going to take back that 1 year of clean water for that village. And, of course, they're not going to. But what's your take on kind of the corporate, the not-for-profit world blending with the for-profit world?
I think the movement is fantastic, and we know that people get inspired by, like, Tom's shoes. I mean, that's a perfect example of Tom's shoes. You pay, you know, for the shoes, and then half of that price goes off to charity. There is a new app for your phone by Johnson & Johnson. It's called Donate a Photo. Have you seen it?
I have not.
Oh, you're going to love this app. So Donate a Photo is free. You put it on your phone, and every day you do a nice photo, creating a good vibe on the internet, and Johnson & Johnson, with no strings attached, donate $1 per day per one of your photos to, they have 10 different causes listed, and you get to pick the cause.
You're right. I do love that. And do you know the story? How did Johnson & Johnson get involved with that?
I didn't read it. I just stumbled across it 3 days ago, and I have to say I've uploaded three pictures, and I am
there's $3.
But that's $3 going to causes. So right now I'm supporting Nepal, and I'm supporting they have supplies for kids in Guatemala.
And what I love about that is my kids can use it as well, and it speaks to a point in your book, which is clone your cash. What does clone your cash mean?
Clone your cash is always look for the match. When you give a donation, make sure that your money is matched. Again, because, you know, we do get larger gifts. Not only do I look for a match from another donor, but a lot of times I look for the federal match, and I can make my dollar go from 1-to-1 to 4-to-1. We do the 4-to-1 in early childhood education. That's a federal pull down with United Way of Denver and the federal government. So every time I give United Way a dollar, They match it with another dollar, and then Christine Bonero is able to pull down those $2 from the federal match going to early childhood education.
And is there an easy resource for people making smaller donations to see how could I get this, you know, $100, this $1,000 donation matched?
Yes, yes. This is for all of us. So all of us have this ability, whether it's a dollar, whether it's 50 cents, whether it's a quarter. If you give to United Way Denver, you can get a 4-to-1. And I'm sure you have it in your community as well, because every state has a federal pull-down match. Every state.
I'm just wondering if there's a resource online that people could go to and see how they could get it matched. Because, Larry, I don't know about you, but that's not something I'm familiar with.
No, and that's a powerful way to stretch your
dollar. It's huge.
It's huge. Another thing is, how much do you guys know about Donors Choose?
I just know of it.
Great. If you go online, a lot of donors like the Gates Foundation, Kia, and the Mortgage Family Foundation have now put up match money in certain states. So Donors Choose is a way for you to go and support a teacher, and you can give whatever dollar amount you give. So a lot of times, a lot of our matching grants are to 10 other people who gave $5, $10, and $20, but we all still together, collectively, bought that teacher that supply that they needed in the classroom. And the supplies are broken down by if you like technology or if you like arts, if you like sports equipment. So it's a beautiful way for you to find your passion, whatever you're passionate about first, and then pitch in and donate to a teacher of your choice. And it can be in any state, anywhere in the United States.
And that's the platform where a teacher says, hey, I've got this great project, and if I had $500, I could do it for my class, but I don't have the $500. And then people can provide that capital. Is that correct?
Yes. And another thing I talk about in my book is immediate impact. Donors Choose is that. It jumps over the middleman in the school district, and they literally ship the teacher's wish straight to the teacher. No middleman, no stoppers, immediate impact in the classroom.
Great. You know, Larry and I were talking in the green room before you came on just about how many not-for-profits there are in Park City and how important a topic like this is here in our community. And I know one of the things that not-for-profits struggle with is how do you build a relationship with a donor? You represent a very large family foundation. You've seen organizations build a relationship with you appropriately, and you've seen them do it inappropriately. How do you like for not-for-profits to give you feedback, keep you in the loop, make the initial ask? Give us some thoughts from the donor side of best practices.
When you are approaching a donor, like myself or anyone, I think everybody should be treated equal, is you have to get to know that person. Now, if you don't know me, how you get to know me is you seek out some of my big grants and you go talk to those organizations on how we like to have relationships. Our relationships are built on trust right off the bat. And so how do you build trust? Well, you start off slowly and then you build into it. And that's how we like to give. We never start off with a huge gift, ever. I want to test the organization. I want to test the strength. I want to test the development people. And everybody should have this in mind. Building a relationship with us doesn't mean going and having a cup of coffee. In fact, I squirm when somebody says, would you like to go have a cup of coffee? Because that's actually code for how do I get your money. Instead, what I would like to do is build a relationship with an organization that they know I'm passionate about, and then we slowly invest together, and the results are so profound, you can't help but love them.
Right. Now, early on, you said you're looking for ROI, a return on investment, when you give a gift of any size. How can you measure that? And I would think, especially if you're giving large dollars, that you would have a tendency to want to meddle, to want to show up and see how your money, it was your money, is being spent by a charity. How much right do you as a donor have to interfere, meddle, observe how the money is actually spent?
you are funny. I am not a settler. I, like I said, we do this on trust. I work on 185 projects a year.
I'm sorry. That was, Carrie, that was going to be my last question, and your phone is cutting out to the point that we can't understand what you're saying. But
let's give it another shot. Go ahead. Try it. Let's see if your phone's better.
Okay.
Is that better?
It is, yes.
You went a little fuzzy as well. Is that better?
Yes. Okay. All right. So how do you measure your ROI without meddling too much, or how much right do you have to meddle and give advice and observe how your money's being spent?
So we don't meddle. We do it on trust. And so what we expect in return, because I work on 185 projects a year, there's no way I could actually get involved and be a meddler. Instead, I expect, and I say it clearly and upfront, I want a 30-second update once a month. And so what that means is that the executive director will send me an update on the work that they're doing. They might share with me a success story, and that keeps me updated on the progress of what we're doing without me meddling at all. But it also keeps me involved.
Okay. All right, Carrie, we lost you again, but we were in the waning seconds of our interview. So we'll just wrap it up, and thank you very much for joining us. The book is Every Gift Matters, How Your Passion Can Change the World by Carrie Morgridge. And thanks very much.
And Carrie, I knew your father-in-law, or he was a professor at Stanford when I was there. Very gracious man. I actually pitched him on an investment. He turned me down on investing in my company, but he offered me a job at Cisco in 1995. And, you know, different time, different life, but that was a heck of an opportunity. He's a wonderful man. I know 20 years ago, he used to bike ride across the country. So I hope he's still active, and I hope he's doing well.
He is, and thank you very much. I'll give him your best.
Thank you. He probably won't remember me, but he was very gracious to me. So thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for your book. I view books as a gift to society. They're a lot of work. And, you know, for $20, we can all learn a lot. And your book is very informative. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Okay, now next on Mountain Money, we'll be talking about Summit County Power Works and the larger prize, which is the Georgetown Prize for Savings in Energy Conservation, the Georgetown University Energy Prize, Park City, Summit County, competing for that. We will have the director of that program from Georgetown on the line with us. This is Mountain Money in Park City. We're heading to a high of 64 today, and we will be back after this.
This is Steve Roney with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Utah Properties. We continue to be proud supporters of KPCW, our local source for Park City news. Our agents are Summit and Wasatch County's source for real estate, and we can be reached at bhhsutah.com.
This is Craig McCarthy with the Park City Chamber Bureau. Being a member of the Chamber Bureau is a great investment for your business and provides a wide array of benefits. We promote your business, provide networking and educational opportunities, and even have benefit programs for you and your employees. For more information, visit us online at visitparkcity.com or call us at 649-6100. The Park City Chamber Bureau is a nonprofit, membership-based organization and a proud supporter of KPCW.
Welcome back to Mountain Money. We're going to keep with the topic of spending your money wisely. We just talked about donations and supporting charitable causes. Now we're going to talk about energy efficiency. On the line with us from Washington, D.C. is Christopher Nelson. He is the program director from Georgetown University, the program on science and public interest. And then in studio with us is Mary Krista Smith. She is here locally in Park City, and she's with the Summit Community Power Works. Christopher and Mary Krista, welcome to Mountain Money.
Thank you.
Good morning. It's nice to be with you.
Christopher, let me start with you. So the Georgetown University Energy Prize, tell us a little bit about that. It's a big prize. It's $5 million. And what does it award?
Yeah, it's $5 million that we say will go to the community that leads the way on energy efficiency. And the more direct answer to that is that we've got 50 communities across the country, of which Summit County is one, who are competing for the next 2 years to not only reduce your electric and natural gas residential and municipal energy, but to develop innovative new programs and approaches to community-wide energy efficiency that can be replicated and scaled across the country. Now, of course, the winner of that gets $5 million, and that's nothing to turn up our noses at, but every community that participates will realize, frankly, much bigger savings through the annualized return on investment through using your energy more efficiently, paying less in your homes, paying less in your community centers and city and county buildings, et cetera.
And let me switch gears. Mary Krista Smith is in studio with us from Summit Community Power Works. Mary Krista, tell us, what does Summit Community Power Works do, and what is your role in the Georgetown Prize?
We are the nonprofit that was formed to vie for the prize, and our role is to educate, facilitate, and incentivize the local residents and municipalities to adopt energy efficiency.
Okay, and so give us some ideas. What are some of the low-hanging fruits? What are some of the initial projects that we're doing to reduce our power usage?
Our initial project, which is the low-hanging fruit and the easiest to adopt, is to make the switch to LED light bulbs. And we have been running programs in our local schools. The students at South Summit Elementary School and South Summit Middle School collectively switched out 1,400 bulbs in 1 month. Jeremy Ranch Elementary School engaged in this competition as well and switched out 2,700 light bulbs in 1 month. And we've had friendly competitions within our local Rotary clubs as well, switching out 676 light bulbs in 1 month. So this is the low-hanging fruit that's beginning the conversation within the community about energy efficiency. And also, I should say, at a municipal level as well, Park City is switching out all of their streetlights to LED, and the city council just approved for all the municipal buildings to have their light bulbs switched to LED by July.
And let's go back to Georgetown and Christopher Nelson. I presume you hear this story from the other 49 communities as well. This is one of the absolute obvious things to do.
It is obvious, but you'd be surprised at how few people do it. I mean, hearing the numbers that Mary Krista was just talking about are staggering. And yes, it's only a start of the conversation, but not a lot of people know LED light bulbs are 80% more efficient than old incandescent light bulbs. So making that one switch can be a significant start down that path. And as you said, it's a start of a conversation. And I think people can sometimes hear about energy efficiency and they can get overwhelmed.
You know,
I can't put solar panels on my roof, or, you know, it's going to cost me $10,000 to put in new triple-paned windows. And that's true, and those investments add up. But you've got to start somewhere, and starting with a new light bulb is a great way to get people to recognize that first set of savings and then figure out how they can go deeper and deeper and deeper over time.
And let's stick with that small, obvious theme to begin with, because I'll tell you, LED lights, I bought one because there was a big rebate on it at the Home Depot store, and I needed a light fixture, and I said, I'll try one of these. And I plugged that thing in, and it was so bright. I was expecting, because it was energy efficient like a compact fluorescent bulb, that it would not generate a whole lot of light. And in fact, it was very bright, really nice light at a huge energy savings. And didn't the guy who invented that get the Nobel Prize for physics?
I believe you're right. LEDs have been around for a long time, but they've just now become kind of at the scale where consumers can afford it. You're right. There are big rebates from home stores, from your power company, and I'm sure Mary Krista can say more about that, not only for LEDs, but for other things. So it can be very, very cost-effective, now not only to make the upfront purchase, but over time. And the quality of these products, not only LED light bulbs, but if we go beyond that and talk about other home appliances and electronics that are energy efficient, oftentimes the overall quality now is much higher, and you're not sacrificing with energy efficiency. In fact, you're getting more out of an energy efficient electronic or appliance.
And that's where I want to go. The LED is very well known. We've talked about it as a community. I think we do need an incentive. We need a push to go there. But what are the Georgetown Prize is not going to be won by the community that puts in the most LED bulbs. We've used prizes in the past to the SpaceX program. That was Burt Rutan. Burt Rutan didn't put the first private aircraft in space by going to Home Depot and cashing in a rebate. He was very clever. He was tenacious. He was willing to fail. What are some of the big things that you're seeing that could really move the needle beyond the LED lights?
That's a great question, and I'm glad you moved us to that space, because prizes are about getting people to think outside the box. The interesting thing about energy efficiency is this is not a technology prize. We are not looking for someone to invent a new light bulb. We were just discussing. We have incredibly efficient, inexpensive, great quality technology that allows people to be energy efficient. And yet, for the last couple of decades, we have consistently in this country wasted more than 50% of the energy that we produce. So even as technology is getting more and more efficient, the needle on how efficient we are as a society in our individual communities is not moving. So there's a stuck problem there, and prizes at their core are good at getting over stuck problems. So some communities, to get over this, are looking at really creative ways of doing outreach and engagement. Mary Krista mentioned children and the schools, and that engagement is critical. And there are communities that have really creative ideas about how to leverage kids in schools, teachers, parents, administrators, to get the message into the homes. Because that's something we learned from public health campaigns. It was in large part credited to kids going home and bugging their parents about smoking that saw a drastic reduction in smoking in this country. That can work the same way for a lot of other things if communities are creative about how they're putting those programs together.
I was just going to ask Mary Krista here in Summit County, is that more of our focus is getting the word out to the average homeowner? It's a communications challenge as opposed to a technology challenge? Or are you looking at some technologies that maybe aren't as widely available as LED bulbs and saying, boy, if we could do this, we could have a dramatic impact?
To speak to Christopher's point about outreach within the community, we have a unique opportunity in Summit County, which is that the east side of the county and the west side of the county are very different from one another politically and economically. And so our process has been about building bridges of communication and really a grassroots effort of going to where we live. I happen to live on the east side of the county, and soliciting ideas, not coming in with the solution, but soliciting solutions from the people who are living there, and really building a coalition that transcends our dualistic political nature in Summit County, and a broad program that engages not only the families in Camas and Colville and Francis and Hennifer, all the way to Deer Valley. How do we build programs that touch and reach everybody? That has been our focus and our curiosity.
And I would think one of the things that connects everyone is a desire to be thrifty, to save money. I mean, there's no reason not to. And that saving energy is, in the end, saving money. So what are some other beyond LED light bulbs, where do you go next?
Our next focus is Well, we have four key initiatives, the first being LED light bulbs, the second being smart controls with an emphasis on smart thermostats. For example, the Nest thermostat currently has a $100 rebate available, and the typical return on investment on those thermostats is 18 months, and they've shown just by making that simple step from a programmable thermostat, which hardly any of us ever program correctly, to a Nest thermostat will save you between 10 and 15% a month on your gas bill. And they're cool. Talk about cool technology. They are available to be accessed from your smart device. They program themselves. They learn their your behavior and program themselves. And they can tell when you're home, and they power down when you're not home. And so they modify just those little times when the programmable thermostat may not be delivering the efficiency the smart thermostat does.
My wife and I have been beta testers of that since day one and just absolutely love it. And, you know, back in the day, they were $350. Now, as you say, there's a nice rebate, and they have competitors. I'm a big fan of Tony Fadell and Nest. I'm not encouraging somebody not to go with the Nest. But if, even with the $100 rebate, it's too big of a ticket, there are very similar competitors out there for $60, $70 that gives you a lot of the functionality. So smart thermostats is what you said. There's three or four initiatives. LEDs are one. What are two or three others?
LED light bulbs, smart thermostats. The third is weatherization and infrastructure. And as Christopher spoke to, this is when you get deeper into the weeds, and Summit County is getting ready to launch a weatherization program called BeWise Energize, and with a goal of weatherizing and doing deep retrofits in 300 homes in Summit County in the next 18 months.
What kind of payback does that type of project have? Because Larry, you're right, spending it wisely, right? You spend money to save money, but like with solar cells, we're still looking at least 10-year payback. That's a long, long payback, and probably closer to 15 years.
And I put in from single-pane windows in an old house double panes, and I spent $15,000 on them. My gas bill went up. Of course, it would have gone up more.
Right.
So I'm having a hard time calculating that a return on investment myself.
So Christopher, you have the advantage point of seeing 50 communities vie for this prize. And it is an unusual structure because, as you point out, usually these prizes are for major technology leaps. In this case, the real leap is the awareness and the moving forward to saying, let's start to embrace some of this existing technology. What are some things that you're seeing that are moving the needle for communities?
So, we talked about one, which was the outreach, and I do want to emphasize a point that Mary Krista made about the unique position that Summit County is in and the diversity of your county, because one of the things that we're looking for the prize is not just energy savings, it's replicability and scalability. And the diversity of your county really gives you a unique vantage point with which to say that the programs that you are developing are uniquely replicable in a lot of different places because you've tested it out with all of the different demographics and socioeconomic conditions that you have just there in one county. So I did want to just emphasize that you're in a pretty unique and special position there in Summit County. Some of the other things that we've looked at are innovative ways to pay for, across the country anyway, innovative ways to pay for these upgrades. Some utilities have revolving loan funds where they're allowing individuals to pay for, like, an insulation upgrade through the energy savings on their bill. It just shows up on their bill every month. This is how much energy you saved, but this is the percentage of that you're still going to be paying to pay back that loan. It makes it viable for low-income people to have access to the type of upgrades that, frankly, go far beyond just saving energy and saving money. They go to the comfort and health of your home and your living environment. So they're very, very important to give everyone access to that. We're seeing really some creative approaches in that space. We're seeing communities that are taking themselves a technology-based approach to engagement. And in fact, I don't know if you've heard of these apps that have existed on the marketplace for a while, you know, apps for your phone where if you don't go to the gym, they will charge you, or they will make a donation to a charity you don't agree with, right? It's a carrot and a stick approach to making you go to the gym. Well, there's a couple of communities in the competition that are trying that same approach with energy efficiency. So if you don't save energy, they're going to penalize you. And in fact,
they're going to elect a mayor that nobody likes.
Rob right? Ford.
So there really are some creative ways to get people to think differently about this. There's also, and I don't want to skip over this because the competition is both for the residential sector and the municipal sector. So we have communities that are really, you know, everything that we just talked about understanding your smart thermostat and how your heating and cooling system works, understanding the plug load and light load of a building. Well, if that's true of a home, imagine that for an entire city hall or a community center or the city recreation facilities. And there are communities that are really working to install and utilize technology on that scale, which not only goes to helping the city with their energy efficiency and win the prize, but goes directly to using taxpayer dollars much more efficiently, which can then be reinvested in the community in a lot of other ways instead of just going to literally keep the lights on.
Well, and the nice thing about what you're doing is it's going to take all of these efforts to get us where we need to be. We as a country are so close to grid parity on sustainable energy. Where I worked for BP in 1984 on the first photovoltaic cells, and our team's goal was 1% energy efficiency. And as you know, grid parity is generally considered to be 20% of the energy yep. hitting the cell. And it would make more sense for us to have solar cells on our roofs in most parts of the country than to buy it from the utility. And we're at about 17% now. We are so close, and it takes initiatives like what you guys are doing. The Georgetown Prize is one of them. I'm curious, you know, when I mentioned Burt Rutan and the X Prize and putting this first private vehicle in space, you know, I know Burt Rutan was not sharing his ideas. It was a very secretive environment. In your case, there's kind of this, a good idea in one community benefits us all. Is there a platform where communities are sharing best ideas, or are we truly competing with 49 other communities?
You know, this is a very collaborative competition, and you referenced the SpaceX Prize, but I actually worked for the XPRIZE Foundation on a number of other prizes, including a 100-mile-per-gallon automobile prize. You know, one of the interesting things that we saw in that prize, which was very much a technology prize, but when we had all the vehicles out on the test track for weeks and weeks at a time, teams were helping each other. Teams would help put engines back together when they failed. They would help each other with spare parts, and because they recognized that that their solutions really were their solutions, and helping compete against a strong field of competitors made everyone better. Our competition is very much built after that model, where every community, and Mary Christ, I certainly don't want to put words in your mouth, but I've seen it in, all across the country, communities are very much of the attitude that a rising tide lifts all boats. And they recognize that every community also has unique circumstances. So an idea that works in one community is not necessarily going to be able to be implemented in any other community, but that idea spurs future plans and programs in communities that aren't competing but can still benefit from energy efficiency. And at the end of the day, I'll go back to what I started with, which is this is truly a competition where everyone wins. Yes, there is a prize on the line, but if you save a lot of energy, both at the municipal level and at the homeowner level, that economic benefit to your community on an annual basis, because remember, this isn't just one-time savings. These savings are meant to continue, will go back into your community much more than a one-time $5 million prize.
And we are running short on time, and I did want to circle back to Mary Krista. Okay, so it's our project involves LEDs, smart thermostats, weatherization, and infrastructure, and the fourth component of our energy saving effort is
solar. And we will be running a community-wide bulk purchase solar program that we'll be launching this fall. And I wanted to say that every meter matters, that the change, the little change that people make is better than the big change they don't make. So we encourage everyone to join us in this movement that's a national movement to elevate our awareness and our practices of energy efficiency.
And I have one other question, and we'll have to answer it quickly, but I see Aspen is also a semifinalist, so there are two ski towns, ski resort communities involved in the prize. And what are we handicapped by the fact that we have large empty homes and that our retailers leave their front doors open in the winter in order to encourage shoppers to come in, and that the upscale homes often have heated driveways and the hotels have gas flames, warming flames outside to encourage people to linger? I mean, we have some things that are not very energy efficient in a resort town.
We do. And Jackson Hole, Aspen, Bend, Oregon are also competitors in this prize. And we could look at it as a challenge and also as an opportunity, because we do in Park City consume four times as much energy as the average Utahn. We have big, inefficient homes here in Park City, and that provides us with the opportunity to capture huge energy savings. The little changes we make will make a tremendous difference, and we can go from being one of the most polluting mountain towns to being the winner of the Georgetown University Energy Prize.
I'm glad you mentioned that. We've got to close on it, but if Park City is using four times the energy usage of the average person in Utah, that's definitely some low-hanging fruit that we have to go after. Mary Krista with Summit Community Power Works, thank you for coming in. You're getting the word out. My daughter and I were counting light bulbs a couple weeks ago. I was shocked, Larry, at how many. I would have to take out a loan to replace them all with LED lights. There are so many lights in the house, but that's the good news, bad news. Our other guest has been Christopher Nelson, the program director at Georgetown University Program on Science and Public Interest. He heads the Georgetown Prize, a $5 million prize for the community that over 2 years reduces their power the most. Christopher, Mary Krista, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks, it's been great.
And we'll be back to wrap up Mountain Money after this.
Hi, I'm Kelly from San Francisco Design, longtime supporter of KPCW. We provide a mix of European and mountain contemporary home furnishings for a unique Park City lifestyle. Our showrooms are in Park City and Salt Lake, and both offer complete design services. We're on the web at sanfrandesign.com.
Hi, I'm Chris Cherniak.
And I'm Nell Larson. Join us this spring every Tuesday at 9 a.m. for This Green Earth.
We cover everything from honeybees to pine beetles.
And desert pupfish to repatriated puffins.
That's This Green Earth every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Sponsored by
Recycle Utah,
Republic Services,
and Vail Resorts.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided in part by Hideout Canyon, Master Plan Community on the Lake, info at hideoutcanyon.com, Long Reimer Weiniger Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, lrw-law.com, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and listeners like you.
Interesting conversation. There's a lot we can do, Park City and Summit County, and let's get working on it. I want to thank our great guests, Christopher Nelson from Georgetown University, Mary Krista Smith from Summit Community Power Works, and Carrie Morgridge from the Morgridge Foundation.
And I want to thank our great sponsors, Mountain West Bank, Park City Chamber, Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Utah Properties, San Francisco Designs, and Jones, Waldo, Holbrook, and McDonough. Thank you all.
And I learned a lot. You know, I always hope to learn quite a bit on this show, especially in regards to energy savings and the things we can do. I was not aware of these what are they called, Nest thermostats and the like. I'm going to start checking into those.
And you've got a couple houses too, so you could save.
Well, I'm in the middle of remodeling one, and LEDs were going to be a big part of it, and certainly now I'm going to look at this Nest thermostat.
The nice
thermostat.
Thing about the Nest is if you're not at the house all the time, you can control your thermostat remotely, and that's really nice.
Okay. Always something you can learn on Mountain Money. Thanks so much for joining us. This is Larry Warren along with Doug Wells saying thanks for joining us. This is KPCW Park City.